Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, no! We suck again!
This is a weird time in South Florida sports right now because we've got the Panthers, defending Stanley Cup champions. I've never doubted Paul Maurice, and I don't doubt him again this season. I say... I've never doubted Paul Maurice. I've been steadfast in my support for Coach and continue to do so. But I'm telling you, between the Jimmy Butler suspension and these bizarre post-game comments from Tyreek, who's now changed his Twitter avatar to his face on Antonio Brown's body leaving Tampa when he infamously left during a game. The thud of the ending of the Dolphins season, honestly, the blowout loss by the Heat to Utah. I don't know if that's too far in the rearview mirror to even bring up, but I mean, Jimmy Butler had to be hysterically laughing if he was watching that game anywhere.
They look bad. There
is just so much going on. Is there anything positive right now? Is it just the Panthers? Is that it?
That's it. The Panthers.
Because the Hurricanes end with a thud, Dolphins end with a thud. There's real soap opera-like drama regarding the Heat and the Dolphins. And there are so many similarities, too, with Tyreek and Jimmy Butler, because I'm reading all this stuff on how Tyreek quit on the team during a game, and he's a team captain, and Jimmy didn't do that. He's been suspended. But to be quite honest, Jimmy's standing in the corner is just as much quitting on the team as Tyreek saying, I'm not going back in there. So there's a lot of analogous drama going on with both organizations. And, but I do have two different attitudes on the two organizations. I really believe that, and I know this is the craziest day to say it, I don't think the Dolphins are far away. And I'm glad that they're keeping Chris Greer, and I'm glad that they're keeping Mike McDaniel. They are running it back next season with the big three. Their big three is Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, and Tua Tagovailoa. There's going to be changes around them, but that's their big three, and they are running it back, and this guy's okay with it.
And you're more confident in the Heat getting it together than the Heat? I mean, the Dolphins and the Heat?
Yes.
Fuck, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's I'm Pat counting, Riley.
Here's what's going on with the Heat. Here's what's going on with the Heat. People, including Pat Riley, I think, are just going, oh, we're going to sprinkle our magic Heat dust on whatever's out there. Even if it's not Jimmy Butler, we don't need him. We'll sprinkle this magic Heat dust. And you saw against Utah, I don't know if you know, Utah's not any good. And I don't think that there's a magic dust to sprinkle on the Heat. They have been great for a long, long time. Right now, they're in a gulch.
Yes.
And I don't see a quick way out of that. And it's not, there's no quick way unless you're telling me that they're going to trade Phoenix and bring in Kevin Durant. Like, it ain't happening with Bradley Beal, and it ain't happening with the guy you want. I forget what his name is. It ain't happening with Cucamonga. Like, they're way further.
Cucamonga turn this thing around.
Yeah. Okay.
But Hawk, let's rationally, because I didn't know you were going to go this route. Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, Andy Ellisberg, you trust less to figure this out than a guy saw coached, Chris Greer, who had Tim Boyle and Tyler Huntley as the backup to Skylar Thompson, and then Tua, who was hurt again yesterday wearing a damn parka and sunglasses at night. Hawk, come on.
It's not that I trust them more, because I don't. I just think the Dolphins happen to be closer because of the pieces that they have, starting with Tua. For me, the whole season, for me, was confirmation of what I believe in Tua, which is that he's close to an elite quarterback, and when he's out there, they're a damn good team, a really competitive team. I think what you saw against Utah with Bam and Tyler and no chance of Jimmy is closer to what you're going to see for them. That's not by any fault. Listen, I don't blame Pat Riley for not getting Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard on this team would have been, like, I don't blame him. I just think the Dolphins happen to be closer personnel-wise. Not telling you that I trust Greer and McDaniel more than Riley and Spo. I just think at some point that magic dust runs out. You can't sprinkle magic dust all the time and have it work. They had an incredible run. I'll put their run up against anyone's in professional sports for the amount of time that they did it. You know, it was like the Colts going from Peyton Manning right into Andrew Luck, and you don't miss a beat. And he essentially did that. But right now, I think the Dolphins are closer. I'm not upset that Greer, McDaniel, and Tua are going to be the core next season.
So I think it's two different conversations. Am I upset that Greer, Tua, and McDaniel are there? Yes. I've seen this. I've watched this picture. I watched Coach McDaniel. They had more damn tackles for loss. The Jets, every run play was a tackle for loss. They couldn't get a run game together. Greer laughed at us about the offensive line. The offensive line is terrible right now.
You won't do that again, though.
You got guys quitting on you. McDaniel's sitting over there. He's still shivering. Every time it's in 30, if I look over, my coach is shivering. How do I feel as a player? Shivery, man. You're anemic. Stop shivering all the time. It's just for us to say again, where even in the past, the 3 years we made the playoffs, then we get our ass whooped. Are we closer to the Ravens? I sound like Solana, actually. And that game yesterday made me upset. Are we closer to the Ravens, the Bills, the Bengals, the Steelers? Are we closer to them than we were 3 years ago? We're not, Hawk. That's what you have to come to.
I think with a decent backup quarterback, you would have been. Yes, I do. I really do. I just do.
So if who's in there? If Carson Wentz is there, now we beat them, and then the Broncos still beat the hell out the Chiefs, and now we're sitting here today out of the playoffs. People are going home.
Closer. Things have to be addressed. You're right about the offensive line. You're right. Unless Jalen Wright doesn't know forward from backward, you're correct about the offensive line. Because if he thinks he's running forward and he's actually going backward, that would explain it a little bit. But you're right. The offensive line needs to be fixed. And they need a backup quarterback desperately.
And that's it.
Though, I mean, there's some pretty good pieces on that team. I don't know if Jalen Ramsey is going to stick around. I mean, obviously, there's going to be changes. We can go over who their unrestricted free agents are going to be. You know, Javon, I'm sure, is going to be gone. There's a number of guys who are going to be gone. I'm not a believer that this season was a burn it down season for the Dolphins. I just think it magnified some glaring problems, starting with one key issue: backup quarterback.
No concern that Tua now misses big games. And if I'm with you, Hawk, what did Tua miss? Five?
Six.
If Tua does not miss six games, we might not play our starters yesterday. Honestly, if Tua's not out of those six games, we might not play the five games he missed before yesterday. We might be just sitting in the wild card seed. Now somebody else is fighting for number seven. But he is going to miss. This was not a concussion. Now it's a damn hip. And now I'm guaranteed to play next week. There is no damn next week. I'm starting to not question his ability, his eliteness on the field. I'm starting to question his durability, because the concussion thing's one thing. Now your hip muscles are tearing. Come on, big man. Let's throw this damn ball to somebody.
I don't think, again, he needed to miss four games. I don't think he really needed to go on IR. I think they were overly cautious with him because of who he is. And that obviously is going to be a running concern. Like, I get it. But Lamar Jackson a couple seasons ago missed six games. I mean, it happens. Durable quarterbacks or so-called durable quarterbacks will miss games. That's the reality of a 17-game season. So I know over the course of two seasons, Tua missed six games. And I know the two seasons prior to that, Lamar Jackson missed six games. So I'm not ready to discount him. And I think he's that good that if he's out there and you've got a decent offensive line and I like Devon Achane. And I do too. I think Jalen Wright's better than -5 yards on a carry.
To your point about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson misses games. The Ravens still win because they have a capable quarterback and a coach that knows how to adjust to that backup. Tua misses games, and we get our ass whooped and average 11 points a game when he's out. So now Chris Greer is in charge of that. Why are we just sticking with Chris Greer, who is a friend of mine? Why are you just saying, oh, no backup quarterback, no offensive line? Chris Greer is fine. I like the threesome.
Because if you can say that if Tua hadn't missed five games, six yesterday, they probably would have been resting their starters yesterday because they would have had a playoff spot secured, then why would you break it up? Like, that's what you're playing for. You're playing the regular season to get to the postseason. And if you think that the way they were constructed would have had them resting starters in week 18, then yeah, you're close. This not the time to start tinkering. Or it is. It's not the time to start knocking out, you know, pieces of the structure.
Who is in charge of if Tua gets hurt, ... Who's on the other side of that? Because when Tua does get hurt, we put Skylar Thompson in that position for 3 years. We cut Mike White to leave Skylar Thompson there. Skylar Thompson was evaluated for 3 damn years, and then we saw him get in the game, and he did not know what to do. Then he gets hurt. Now he's just sitting there looking silly. Who's responsible for Tua gets hurt after? Equal sign after that. It's Chris Greer. So if that's your thing, Chris Greer got to go. I'm not saying Mike McDaniel has to get fired. I don't think they should release Tua or trade Tua. But looking at it, I think there should be someone else evaluating players for this team.
I think Chris Greer has brought in some good draft picks too and had some and good acquisitions in the free agent market. I'm telling you could do a pros and cons. We're in the heat of the moment. We are Tyreek Hill after a game right now. We're in the heat of the moment. Yes. Let it all kind of filter out over the next couple of days. You'll see the light, which is my way, which is the correct way.
It's not. It's the nice way. I don't like calling people.
Solana, I see. I do think the Heat, unfortunately, the epitome of a middle-of-the-road NBA team. They have a great Hall of Fame coach who's going to maximize what they have out there. But what they have out there is the epitome of a middle-of-the-road team, which is exactly what their record shows.
Let me ask you this, because right now, because the Dolphins literally, if we try to compare NBA and NFL, the Dolphins were in a play-in game last night. It's what it is. They were in the play-in game. They got their ass whooped. Now they're out of the playoffs. The Heat this year probably are going to be somewhere in that mid-tier of maybe getting in a play-in series, and they lose. Next season, Pat Riley is going to reload and figure this thing out without Jimmy Butler.
Why didn't he do that this season? Why didn't he do that this season? I mean,
Jimmy started bitching like a child standing in the corner. Tyreek quit in two quarters. Jimmy quit at halftime of the season.
I'm just telling you, they're out of magic dust. It's fine.
It's not magic dust.
It's not an infinite supply. Shaq, there's only so much you can do.
Shaq Wade. No more Shaq. Okay, Wade and them. Still good. Okay, Wade, LeBron, Bosch. No, they're going to be good. Okay, right. Now we're going to move forward. Okay, well, now Jimmy, who's not that good, and y'all know I said he's very good. He's not elite.
The
magic dust is going to work when they bring in Kuminga or whoever the hell they bring in. I'm telling you, Pat can figure this out.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I just don't think you are. And I think the game against Utah to me was like, okay, because that could have been, that was a play-in game. That that was a play-in game. Oh, Jimmy's not out here. He's been suspended. Now we'll flex a little bit and show you what we can do. Oh, you know what we can do? We can lose by 40.
Yeah, Khalil Ware wasn't ready.
He looked good. Go ahead. Solana, what do you think about all this? I know you're biting your tongue. What do you think?
No, it's fine. I mean, anyone who trusts an organization that hasn't won a playoff game in 25 years is buying into the same people who have done nothing.
You're using trust. Wait a second. Both of you are using the word trust when I did not say that. I said they're closer than the Heat are right now. I never used the word trust and will not, because I do not trust the Dolphins more than the Heat. The Heat earned my trust over two decades. So don't misquote me. I'm not saying I trust one organization more. I'm telling you, I think one organization is closer and not in need of dismantling, and another one is further away and probably in need of a reimagining.
Which is fair, but I would present to you this, which has been my case all season long. You're saying, had the Dolphins had a competent backup quarterback, which, by the way, a week ago, you were trying to sell me on the very same guy we saw yesterday. Clearly,
look great.
We're moving away from that.
Look great, though.
All we are is a backup quarterback away, which I think is, you know, a crazy way to approach it, but fine. You're trusting the same two guys who were in charge of this very same problem, the biggest problem that the organization has faced since Tua Tagovailoa went down in Cincinnati week 4, 3 years ago. You're trusting those same very guys to now make that decision again this year? To me, that is the definition of insanity.
Right.
Stephen Ross.
I understand where from afar you would say that. My only rebuttal to that, because it does sound silly, but my only rebuttal to that is, if it was a very nebulous problem, we just can't figure out why it's not meshing. Probably what the Phoenix Suns are going through. It's a nebulous problem. It seems like all the pieces. This, to me, is a completely specific problem. Backup quarterback. If that had been...
Your internet was a little choppy there. I don't know if it's on our end or not, but I think I got the gist of your statement.
I think it might be yours, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got the gist of your statement, though. This isn't a nebulous problem. This is direct. Go get a good backup quarterback, right? Like, I think that's what you're saying.
You're 80% of the way there. You're 80% of the way there.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. But in my opinion, at a certain point, you have to kick the tires on what is being presented to you plainly. And to me, Stephen Ross gave all the trust in the world to Chris Greer in 2019 to go turn this organization around. He gave him all the trust in the world after being with this organization since 2002. And now I look at the playoffs, and the teams were in the playoffs. Most of those teams, outside of the Chiefs and outside of some of the Ravens who have been doing it for a while, most of the teams were in the playoffs. Rebuilt their organizations. Cycled through head coaches, cycled through picks, cycled through assets, cycled through new quarterbacks, and are back in the playoffs. And the Miami Dolphins, for 6 years, under the direction of Chris Greer, have nothing to show for it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The only thing you have to show for it is a quarterback who, once again, who you paid, by the way, handsomely, was unavailable to play at the end of the season, whether or not that was Tua being held out by doctors and the team, or whether or not Tua literally could not be out there, I still don't know. But the fact is, he was unavailable again. And the 1 year he wasn't unavailable at the end of the season, you look like a total embarrassment. You look like you did not belong. And how do you follow that up? Looking worse. I don't know what Stephen Ross is doing outside of, I trust him, he's my guy, I'm going to give him one more year because what's the difference? And to me, The fan base has to be disrespected by that. 24 years. 24 years. And the same guy over the last six who has you farther away than you were 3 years ago is the guy you're going to go back and trust again to rebuild it. I get what you're saying, Hawk.
You're not rebuilding.
You're not
it. That's
rebuilding.
My, that's my
I,
point.
I get building what you're saying, but
no,
I.
No, you're not.
I don't think. Yes, you, here's my problem, you, Crowder. I
if
don't
you,
think.
If, Crowder, you're if building, you want to rebuild you're building it, a, then if you want to rebuild it, I'm down with getting a new GM and a new head coach. If you're down for a rebuild, then I'm down with you. But I don't think this thing needs to be a rebuild.
So go to the playoffs, go to the playoffs, go to the playoffs, then miss the playoffs, get your ass whooped by a terrible Jets team with a 48-year-old quarterback in the last game of the season. You're going the opposite way than you want to, Hawk. That's what just the
you're
running
missing your
back
quarterback. You're missing your starting running, quarterback.
And he is fragile. So if he's fragile, address fragility with somebody better than Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle
right.
and Tyler Huntley. I know
right. you so don't need to rebuild now, to do that. Okay, you don't need to rebuild so to do
who,
that.
Okay, so who's gonna address the backup quarterback position? Chris Greer?
Yes.
He addressed it with Tim Boyle and Skylar Thompson.
You,
I know.
You get,
and he got it wrong
get
for
some
3 years.
Wrong tests, and they show you, here's the exact problem that you got wrong. You go, oh, okay, I won't do that again. I'm not going to carry the nine anymore. I get it. It's solved. I guarantee
it's
you.
Not solved.
You're going to have a quality back with next season. Guarantee it.
Slide that name out of that gold plate and put another name in there, and that solves the problem.
How do you know they're going to get it right?
Like I said, Chris Greer is a great human being, but the way this team is constructed, paying who they paid, missing out where they're going to lose. They're going to lose Javon Holland. They're going to lose Jalen Phillips. They're going to lose some great players. They already lost Christian Wilkins. They already lost Robert Hunt. They bring in good players, and then they lose them because they allocate money other places like Bradley Chubb and different things. The team is a decent roster, Hawk, but it's not a balling roster. They're nowhere closer to the Chiefs, the Bills, the damn Ravens. They're nowhere closer to them. Is it Chris Greer or is it Mike McDaniel? I think Tua's fine. I don't think they can get rid of Tua. I don't think Tua's available. It one of those two guys I think should move. I'm not going to lie. I don't like calling people's firing. But something needs to change because doing the same thing and expecting different results is the definition of insanity.
Crowder, you played in an NFL locker room. You didn't have many winning seasons, but I still value your opinion.
Oh, wait, Duck.
I'm kidding. What is the Dolphins' identity? Seriously. Because I know culture, and you're going to get on me, Hawk, because I buy into Heat culture and the Heat way of doing things. And that's fair. I do. I'm a sucker for that stuff. But I do think it's a little bit overblown in sports. Everybody wants to come in and establish a culture. I think there is a semblance of like truth in that. Look at the Lions. Look,
Dan Campbell.
Right. Yeah, perfect example.
No further than Dan Campbell. That's the culture I would want.
What is Dolphins' culture? Seriously, I don't
know. Whatever. Dan Campbell's bowel movements look like is the Dolphins culture. But that's what we have. We can't start anew right now. My point is, I don't want to start anew right now. I think we're closer to being good than we are to being a dumpster fire. That's my issue with it. Would I prefer the Dan Campbell culture in Detroit rather than the namby-pamby culture that we have here in Miami with Mike McDaniel? Yes, I would like the Dan Campbell culture. I would also like to go back and get Andrew Van Ginkle and Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt. There's a lot of things I'd like back. I'm just telling you, I'm okay riding with this hand right now because I don't think it's the worst hand at the table.
It's not the worst hand, but it's nowhere close to the best hand.
Are you going to fold it, though? My question is, because you could pull, you've got three more cards to pull. Are you going to fold it now because you think you have such an awful hand, you have no chance of pulling the cards you need, or are you going to play it out and see? That really is the question. I think they're closer than you guys think.
I think you do. And I just don't want to go into next year, getting to the last 3 weeks of the season, like it's happened a number of years now, guys being hurt, McDaniel not being ready to play in cold weather, not having a scheme to play in cold weather. Anytime it gets cold, we don't know what the hell to do offensively. That crap was embarrassing. Our points we got, we shouldn't have scored. We got a couple lucky things, and Jonnu Smith getting his head jammed in the ground. Like, it just – it looked like we should have not have been on the field with a 4-12 team. And that's what pissed me off yesterday. Because we were talking about it.
Denver clubbed KC. It didn't matter.
They did. And Hawk, and I want y'all, I take y'all can just text me, you know, sorry, or text me your apology. I told y'all what the butt wiping Aaron Rodgers was about to do.
Yeah.
He was gonna go out on top because he wants to show you, y'all question me, watch this. I can still play. I knew what Aaron was gonna do, and Aaron went crazy yesterday. But we, if you think that we're that close, why can't we beat a 12-4 team in week 18 of the NFL season? Because they're terrible.
Why can't
they were terrible yesterday. They were terrible yesterday. I'll give you that.
And they and why do we not have the dudes that's gonna go get something happen? I don't like somebody gotta go. Your trifecta, Hawk, Tua, Greer, McDaniel. We run that big three
back. But the thing is, and again, I am not comparing Chris Greer to Pat Riley, so do not put words in my mouth. But the way you hold up Pat Riley, oh, they went from LeBron, from Shaq to LeBron to this to that, they get someone. Chris Greer went out and got Tyreek Hill, arguably, at that time, the best receiver in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Chris Greer went out and got Jalen Ramsey, arguably at that time, coming off injury, but arguably at that time, top five corner in the NFL, top three, right? Yeah. Like, he's gone out and gotten the whales that you say Pat Riley's going to go out and get. Hasn't exactly worked, but they're close. They're close.
Hasn't exactly worked. Pat went and got LeBron and Bosh and won two championships. Pat went and got Jimmy and went to two. Pat went and got Jalen, and he did get – he got Reek, and he drafted Phillips, and he drafted Waddle, he drafted Hollins, and they haven't won a damn playoff game. They haven't won a game in the playoffs, Hawk, and now this year they missed the playoffs.
Harder, though, in the NFL. If they were best of seven series in the NFL, they'd have won a playoff game by now.
Hawk, Pat's decisions pay off. We like Greer's decisions, but they have not paid off.
All I'm saying is the stuff that you're lauding Pat Riley for doing, Chris Greer has done. He's gotten the whales.
And that whale is drowning. The whale is beached. Chris Greer brings in beached whales.
It happens though. In other words, did Brooklyn do themselves a disservice by getting Kevin Durant? Did Phoenix do themselves a disservice by getting Kevin Durant? Or did they get the whale and something's not working?
But Hawk, I think...
When Brooklyn... Who did Brooklyn have, though? It was KD, James Harden, and Kyrie.
Kyrie.
They went... Hawk, that's, to your point, an amazing acquisition by whatever Slappy McDougal brought him in. Then they failed miserably. So they had three whales and failed miserably. We've brought in whales and we failed. Yesterday was just that encapsulation of failure in December and January. It upset me.
Not only that, Hawk, but what was the conversation following the split up of that Nets team? Outside of Kyrie Irving's off-the-court antics, people kind of just chalked that up to Kyrie being Kyrie. It was an indictment on the Nets that as an organization, they lack stability that other organizations don't. And I think that was Kevin Durant's biggest takeaway from that entire experiment as well. He threw shade at the Nets because he didn't like the way that they ran things. And you look at what the Heat have done, they're more respected after a situation like that because they say, wow, they had three personalities the way that the Nets did. They figured it out. The Warriors had personalities. They figured it out. Not every organization can do that, and here's where the Dolphins are. You're right. Greer got the whales. No stability, no culture, which is my biggest issue. And at the end of the season, a dreadful season, I might add, you have your whale calling out the organization, saying, I'm done, I won out.
It wasn't a dreadful season. It was not a dreadful season.
Hawk,
it was a 6-2 run towards the end of the season. It wasn't. It's not a dreadful season.
Hawk, they were
to be in it week 18 – to have a chance to make the playoffs is not a dreadful season. It's not.
Hawk.
It didn't meet expectations, but it was not a dreadful season.
When you add the full context of everything, if you're not sitting here today like I am, just saying, same old Dolphins, misery, then I think you're really trying to put a positive spin on it. Yesterday, when the Broncos went up 14-0, I turned off my television. I said, I know how this ends. Mike McDaniel losing another challenge. That's all I missed yesterday. Your franchise quarterback wearing sunglasses at night while a backup quarterback struggles to put points on the board. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron bleeping Rodgers, who you and I a week ago are saying he's going out sad, had the best game of his season. You want to know what the second best game of his season was? Against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, our franchise player quitting on his teammates in week 18, Hawk.
But is that an indictment on the organization, the franchise player quitting on his teammates? Because why is that not an indictment on the Heat when Jimmy Butler does it?
I think there is a certainly an argument to be had that the Miami Heat made a massive mistake, and we had it on Friday, a massive mistake.
But in other words, is that an indictment of the Heat culture then?
It can be. It can be, and we were having that conversation.
I know it can be.
But Hawk, we were having that conversation, right? Why, at every possible turn, has a superstar been rubbed the wrong way by Pat Riley? And I don't necessarily think that this is the same situation as LeBron or Shaquille O'Neal. And I probably would side with Pat Riley in most of these instances. But I think it's a fair question to ask.
No, I think it's a fair question to ask. No. I would say it's not an indictment on the culture because Jimmy's a scorpion.
Right. He's done this story everywhere.
You heard what he did in Minnesota.
Not a scorpion. He left.
No. But the indictment on Jimmy, there was a frog. He jumped up to the side of a creek. Scorpion, who can't swim, asked the frog to get on his back and carry him across. Frog said, no, you're going to sting me. Scorpion said, I'm not going to sting you. He said, okay, jump on. They get halfway across the creek. The scorpion stings the frog. Frog looks up. He was like, now we're both going to drown. Why did you sting me? And the scorpion said, because I'm a scorpion. Jimmy's past has showed you that he's a scorpion. It has nothing to do with Heat. If Jimmy went to Golden State.
Pat Riley's a scorpion as well.
That was beautiful.
He ain't no frog.
If Jimmy
he's no frog.
Went to Orlando, if Jimmy went to Atlanta, there was going to be a time that Jimmy was going to get pissed off and do exactly what he did to Minnesota, exactly what he did to the Pistons, whatever that was. Jimmy is going to do this. Wherever he goes next, he's going to do the same crap.
That was beautiful, man. I'm crying.
No problem. I appreciate
it. Not beautiful. I've heard it a million times.
That was beautiful.
Right, this is why we didn't book any guests.
That's a good
today,
story,
because
though.
There's plenty of stuff to talk about. Let's get a quick look at the headlines. By the way, we have tickets this week for George Lopez. George Lopez coming to Hard Rock Live in February, and we've got a chance for you to win tickets every day this week. If you want to purchase tickets, go to casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood. Feel like there could probably be a quicker URL than that, but I'll read it as written. If you want tickets, go to casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood or just keep listening. We'll give them away at some time before 6 o'clock. Quick look at the headlines here, Solana.
All right. I mean, there's so much going on, but let me just give you the schedule for tonight. The Florida Panthers.
Here's your NHL scoreboard.
Well, if you want to know about Nico Mikkola's status, I do have a tweet up here from Jameson Olive. I don't know if any of you are interested, but the Florida Panthers do play tonight. They're on the road, West Coast swing, same time as the Heat, right on the West Coast, at the Avalanche, 9 p.m. The Heat embarrassed themselves last time out, Saturday night versus Utah. It really was. But they get to right the ship. Six-game road trip begins today. They're at the Sacramento Kings tonight. 10 p.m. is your tip-off, and in case you're living under a rock, yesterday, Stephen Ross released a statement right after the Miami Dolphins game had ended, maybe like an hour or two after, that he is putting his full support behind Mike McDaniel as the head coach and general manager Chris Greer returning next season. Your big-time NFL notes, Doug Peterson fired, Jerod Mayo fired literally 17 seconds after the Patriots lost the number one overall pick by beating the Bills yesterday, and today, there was a report that Anthony Weaver, Dolphins defensive coordinator, has been requested to interview for the Chicago Bears head coaching position. Interesting.
All right.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover law firm.
They had a very statistically good season defensively, the Dolphins. Didn't feel like it yesterday, but statistically, they had a very good season on defense.
Yeah. And came up short in every single big game, but Awesome. Top five defense on paper. Way to go.
All right.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Beautiful day in South Florida. It's in like the mid-70s. It'll drop into the mid-60s later. That is your weather.
All right. Everything's going to be all right, everybody. Everything's going to be all right. We'll discuss. We'll have some fun all day long. We're not doing anything except yip-yapping all day long. So don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Amazing. Just about every texter and tweeter agrees with me. I did not expect that. I didn't see that coming.
Come on, man.
This is the definition of standing alone on an island.
Just gotta, you gotta do
it. But I have been pretty resolute about this all season. Doesn't mean I'm right, but I have been pretty resolute. I don't think I've vacillated. I think I've been, I don't know, pretty clear. Like I don't not trust Chris Greer. I still like Mike McDaniel, and I'm a huge fan of Tua. So I'm not in any rush to get rid of any of those three guys. I'm just not. And people are taking, like, somebody, I mean, there's a million texts. There's not a single person who agrees with me. But one of the texters is like, the good quarterbacks don't miss any games. So you're wasting your time on, you know, oh, you need a backup. But it's just not true. Like, I could go through, I know Green Bay jumps out from the top of my head because we had talked about it when Jordan Love went down and Malik Willis, was it Malik Willis? Yeah, came in and,
they ran the ball and they won.
And he was excellent. Like, it happens. Like, your quarterback's going to miss time in a 17-game season.
But, Hawk, there is a flaw in this roster other than the backup quarterback.
Sure.
And that's what the thing is. So, if you, and I'm not saying, I don't. My whole thing with quarterbacks, everybody like, just get rid of them, get rid of them. And what are you going to do? Bring in Carson Beck next year? Like, I just, the whole get rid of the quarterback thing, you could put on the shelf. There has to be a move with the other two pieces of that. And I think Chris Greer is the one that's been here the longest. Mike McDaniel, do I love his offense? It's very graceful, very nice. He's a very pleasant dude. His culture, you bring up Dan Campbell, is the opposite of Dan Campbell. Like you said, if Dan Campbell, you know, pees yellow, he pees red. Like, it's the craziest thing in the world, the difference. And if you're going to have that culture, you need to bring somebody better in to fit that culture with the pieces. But this O-line, now, Liam Eichenberg is still playing for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, just think about some of the guys that we have playing for us. Think about some of the pieces we have. Think about our tight ends. Jonnu Smith got hot 6 weeks ago. Since Durham Smythe doesn't catch a ball, he's just out there. He's another tackle. Like, this roster is flawed in many different places.
I'm not necessarily certain that it's flawed in many different places. First of all, I think Jonnu Smith, I mean, how many times are you going to have, like, for me, he got snubbed for the Pro Bowl. How many times are you going to have? I'm telling you, if you look at his stats, I don't even know, but I'm guessing if you look at his receptions, touchdowns, targets, he's got to be Pro Bowl caliber tight end. And you're not going to have more than one of those on the roster. Like, you've got, for me, Jonnu Smith was excellent. Another great acquisition, by the way, in my opinion, by Chris Greer. Devon Achane is excellent out of the backfield. Great draft choice by Chris Greer.
He broke 100 yards twice.
He was a tight end.
He's Kittle and Travis Kelce and those guys ball.
He's going to end up being a Pro Bowler, by the way. He's going to end up being a Pro Bowler.
He's a good tight end.
He is.
But, I mean,
one touchdown in the first 8 weeks. Like,
but that's not his fault.
I know. So let's blame Mike McDaniel for not throwing him the damn ball before that.
Fine, but then he figured it out by the end of the season.
I think you're coming from, like Solana said, a very optimistic place on this team where I was with you until yesterday when you get your ass whooped by a terrible team to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs.
That to me is such recency bias. You are you are going to forego everything you saw over 17 weeks and place all your opinion and all your decision making on one meaningless game. And let's be honest, it was a meaningless game because there was no chance that Kansas City Kansas City, I don't think, put together 1 yard of offense. There was no chance that Kansas City was ever going to beat Denver. And so to look at yesterday specifically and say that's what changed my opinion on everything, I think is crazy.
It's not. It's the entire season of seeing the terrible offense that we played, where we were used to 2 years ago. Last season, we were used to the 30, 40-point games. Now we're scratching to get to 20. So that's Mike McDaniel stuff. What happened to the offense? Why can't we score 30 anymore? Why are we trying to win games 23-20? What happened offensively?
But I don't think you are. Again, six of the games were started by less than worthy backup quarterbacks.
And even
that's going to skew any number. It's going to skew the numbers.
The two with the Texans with 12.
But for
the Packers with 17 on primetime, 17 points. The it's just it wasn't impressive.
They were 6-5.
The offense wasn't impressive.
They were 6-5. They had the Dolphins this year, Hawk, had the easiest schedule in the NFL. The easiest schedule. And with Tua, which is your whole argument that he's great and that the team was close with Tua, they were 6-5. That's borderline mediocre. And the only team that they beat this year, the only team that they beat where I say, great win, impressive win, and Tua looked great in that game, by the way, but really good, was the Rams on the road, Monday Night Football, who ended up being a playoff team. That's the only game where you say, you tip your cap, you say, wow, really good game. Every other opportunity that he had this year to go show that this team was closer to contending this year than they were a year ago?
That's wrong. Every other you're telling me, Hawk. You're telling me out of 11 games.
Hawk, run through them. Buffalo.
The stats don't match what you're saying, though. The second Buffalo game? They were great.
Hawk, to that point, though, just to that one point, Tua, healthy, full power offense, full team, 6-5, one game above 500.
You said in the last segment, if Tua was healthy all season, they were resting their starters yesterday.
And to that point, I think they would have beat some bad teams that they lost to throughout that stretch.
They lost to the Seahawks. Maybe they win that game. They lost to the Titans at home on Monday Night
Football
against
the Colts. 12 points against the Titans, 3 points against the Seahawks. Tua win some of those games.
Of course.
But what is he now? 8-5?
Not only
impressive.
You're going to Baltimore next week, and you know that you can't compete with them. So, like, that's why I don't understand when you're saying they're close.
They're closer. You've got to shore up some pieces. You don't have to tear the foundation down.
The foundation of this team lacks the most important foundational piece of any organization, which is what, Hawk?
Culture.
Offensive line.
Winning culture.
Offensive line. Offensive line, Hawk.
But you can't tell me that that's not easily addressed then. You can't tell me it's not easily addressed.
Maybe it is. But in my entire lifetime, the Dolphins have had two good offensive lines. So I don't know what to believe
anymore.
Right,
but I'm saying if you believe that's the biggest problem, it's easily addressed. And by the way, Teron Armstead was another good signing. You knew you were going to get a guy that wasn't going to be out there 17 games a season, but that was another good free agent signing because when he was out there, he was excellent.
It's easily addressed. I want somebody else addressing it because he's tried to address it. He addressed it with Austin Jackson.
He didn't try to address it this past season. He laughed at you for suggesting that he should address it, but I guarantee you he's learned his lesson.
Austin Jackson, Isaiah Wynn, Teron Armstead, who's going to give you 10 out of 17 games. Liam Eikenberg, you bring in Robert Hunt, and then you can't keep him financially.
You drafted Patrick Paul. You have no idea how good he'll be.
Yeah, and who knows how good he'll be because they don't know where they want to play him. They get rid of Connor.
Williams doesn't happen like that. That's what I'm saying. You're not that far off.
Chris Greer does not know how to address the offensive line, and then when you ask him about it, he laughs at you.
Right.
It is not hard to
make that mistake. I'm not telling you the guy's infallible because that was a huge blunder by him.
Has been
huge
terrible
blunder by him
since Jake Long, Justin Smiley, and Jake.
When I say Pat Riley is a genius, but he made a tactical error with Jimmy Butler. I mean, literally chose the wrong path at the end of the last season. Chris Greer made a tactical error by laughing off the question about the offensive line. Like he did. He's not infallible. He made a wrong decision by laughing at that. We got to take a break because we're so far behind already. So don't go anywhere. 3 o'clock hours next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.